phone callers first. Is Mr. John Burke on the line? Colleen Savold?
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Colleen. John Miller?
Yes, I am here, sir.
Marlene Bennett?
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Melissa Thompson?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Good morning.
Good morning. Ron Spangler?
Here, Mr. Chairman.
And has John Burke joined us? This is the time and place for the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission meeting, Tuesday, July 12, 2005. It is 10:30 a.m. We're in the State Capitol Building, room 412 in Pierce, South Dakota. My name is Gary Hansen. I'm the chairman of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. With me today is Commission Vice Chairman Bob Saar and Commissioner Dusty Johnson. The first item on the agenda is administration, approval of the minutes of the commission meeting held on June 14th, 2005. Is there a motion?
I move approval.
I second, Mr. Chairman.
And I concur. Consumer issues, item number one, status report. Mr. Melhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commission has received a total of 911 consumer contacts during 2005. 95 of these contacts have been received since the last report was prepared for the June 28, 2005 Commission meeting. 31 of the contacts for this period involve telecommunication services, 21 of the contacts involve electrical services, 6 contacts involve natural gas services, 4 contacts involve gas and electric services, 11 contacts involve cellular phone service, 9 contacts were related to the Do Not Call Registry, and 13 contacts involved miscellaneous items not regulated by the PUC. 762 of the 911 complaints received thus far in 2005 have been resolved, and 2,073 of the 2,370 contacts received in 2004 have been resolved.
Thank you, Jim. How many more of those reports will we be giving?
Zero.
Congratulations. Jim has just received a promotion, if we call it a promotion. Congratulations on your move. We'll miss your dialect here up here, and I'm sure you'll have an opportunity to stop by once in a while. And
yeah. I was working on a harmonica solo that was ready for 3 months from now. But
we'll look forward to that at an informal meeting. Item number two is CEO 5-001 in the matter of the complaint filed by Larry Fliss, Hendricks, Minnesota, against Otter Tail Power Company regarding voltage fluctuation. The question before the commission is, shall the commission grant the request? Are there any questions by members of the commission? And is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Ron Spangler is on the line. He wanted to call in and give an update as to what's going on with that, if you're interested in hearing.
All right. Mr. Spangler?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissions. I just wanted to provide an update on the status of the Minnesota PUC's report that they were going to issue. That report was delayed because of the government shutdown, which has now been reinstated, but it's my understanding a portion of their staff has been working during that period of time. But it did delay their release of that report. On July 8th, I did receive an email of that report, and this morning I just received a signed hard copy. And they have provided basically a background of what the situation was, the PUC analysis, and also have provided a recommendation which allows for until July 20th for us to respond. During our review of this letter late on Friday and actually yesterday, we discovered some items that we'd like to clarify with the Minnesota Commission's engineer. And what I've done is I've put together a group, and we're going to meet tomorrow afternoon to discuss some of those items and then contact him and questions answered that we have. And hopefully we can get this resolved as soon as possible so we can the customer can have some belief that this is hopefully behind them and move on. So. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Spangler. And you have a request for a 20-day extension.
Yes, I'm sorry. We would like to have an additional extension just to allow some more time for us to review. And with the delay from the shutdown and the Minnesota Commission issuing their report that would basically are the reasons for our request.
Thank you. Are there any questions by the commissioners?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
You know, Mr. Spangler, we are now being broadcast out on the web, and just partly because of that and partly for anyone else who might be listening and isn't familiar with that, just in a couple of sentences, could you explain, I mean, we're dealing with a Minnesota and a South Dakota issue, and just quickly explain that.
Do you want some details on what the issue actually is, or?
No, just explain, though. We've got customers in one state and so on and so forth.
I see that what's happened is we've got some a golf course in Hendricks, Minnesota, that's operating some irrigation pumps that are affecting the service down the line for some customers that are located in just across the South Dakota border in South Dakota. The operation of those pumps, motors, are affecting the service to those customers. And this has happened. This has been kind of an ongoing issue, and it elevated to a customer complaint earlier this spring. And because of them, the two states that are involved, it definitely complicates things.
Thank you. I just want to make sure everyone understood why we're talking about what's going on in Minnesota and not concerned that we're giving up some sort of jurisdiction to our friends to the east. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? If not, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we grant the request.
Second.
I concur. Electricity, item number one, is EL05-019 in the matter of the filing by the City of Madison for approval of its revised service territory as a result of annexation. And the question before the commission is, shall the commission approve the revised service territory? Michelle, Karen, who is?
Judd Miller's on the line. I don't know if he wants to go first.
Mr. Miller?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have anything to add to the text of the staff. This is a annexation that occurred, and we have mutually agreed to the territory exchange as submitted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. In 2003, the City of Madison annexed some rural property. And at that time, they had entered into an agreement with Sioux Valley for a territory change, and they failed to file that for commission approval, and they're rectifying that situation right now with this docket. Basically, they annexed some property that had no facilities and no customers, and they entered into an agreement to change the territory with Sioux Valley Southeastern. The property is located in Section 17 of Township 106 North, Range 52 West, and it's depicted on the map in the filing, and staff would recommend that the commission approve the territory change.
Thank you, Michelle. Any questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Ferris, I assume the failure to file was just an oversight on the part of the cooperative and city?
Correct. I believe the city, actually I'm not sure who was supposed to file it, but neither party filed it.
I will move that the commission approve the revised service territory.
I will second.
I concur.
Telecommunications, item number one, TC05-056, in the matter of the petition of DIECA Communications Incorporated, doing business as Covad Communications Company, for arbitration of an interconnection agreement with Quest Corporation. The question before the commission is, what is the commission's decision? I have a motion. I move that the commission rule in favor of Quest and adopt Quest's proposed language on the disputed issues that are the subject of this petition for arbitration. The commission does not have the authority within a Section 252 arbitration to enforce Section 271 requirements. In addition, the commission should decline to use state law to impose unbundling obligations within the Section 252 arbitration.
Mr. Chairman, I second.
And I concur.
Next item, item number two, is TC05-069 in the matter of the application of Metropolitan Telecommunications of South Dakota, Inc. for a certificate of authority to provide inter-exchange telecommunication services and local exchange services in South Dakota. Question before the commission is, shall the commission grant a COA to Metropolitan Telecommunications of South Dakota? Sarah, Michelle.
I'll take that, Chairman Hansen. Metropolitan Telecommunications of South Dakota has submitted an application to provide local exchange service and inter-exchange service in South Dakota. They will be providing that on a resold basis and utilizing the UNE platform. They plan to provide inter-exchange services statewide and provide local service in Quest exchange territories. They've made all staff recommended changes to the tariff, and they've agreed to restrictions from offering prepaid calling cards, deposits, or advance payments, and they have also agreed to bill in arrears for their local service. The applicant originally submitted financial information for the parent company and does not have financial information for their company and are requesting a waiver from that requirement, and in lieu of that, they've taken the restrictions. The application was submitted May 26th of 2005, so they'd be restricted from providing service until July 25th of 2005. Staff would recommend the Commission approve the request for the waiver of the financial information and also approve the Certificate of Authority for Metropolitan Telecommunications of South Dakota Incorporated with restrictions on deposits, advance payments, and prepaid calling cards with rural safeguards and an effective date of July 25, 2005.
Mr. Smith, do you have a question?
I do, Ms. Ferris. Did not on July 1st the law change with respect to that mandatory waiting period?
That could be.
I don't know that it matters. I'm wondering, and might we, if that's the case and we look at it, would we want to make the effective date?
Date of the order.
Issuance of the order. And I honestly, I can't remember. I don't have a book that's up to date here, so.
I don't either.
But as I recall it, we got rid of that 60-day waiting period. Anyhow, we'll check on that and issue the order so that it complies with whatever the law is now. Assuming the commission.
Thank you, John. Are there any further questions?
Ms. Ferris, is it unusual for us to not to have that financial information from the parent company?
It's not unusual for us not to get that information. A lot of them will file the parent and then just take the restrictions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any further questions? I will move that the Commission grant a Certificate of Authority to Metropolitan Telecommunications of South Dakota Incorporated according to the stipulations as stated by staff.
Second.
And I concur.
Item number three is TC05-073 in the matter of the request by the Local Exchange Carriers Association and its members for a waiver of ARSD 2010-2714. Today shall the Commission grant Mid-Continent Communications petition for intervention. Is there someone from Mid-Continent? Hello. Look on my phone list first. Dave.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission. My name is Dave Gerdes. I'm a lawyer from Peer, and I represent Mid-Continent Communications. This is a petition for late filed intervention. We in favor of the granting of the petition, we would argue that nothing has yet happened substantively in the docket, and that, of course, it is the Commission's policy, or at least its habit, to let everyone in that needs to be in a docket to make sure that all sides are heard. And we would submit that this intervention is in the public interest, and it would be detrimental to the public interest for Mid-Continent not to be in the docket, and for those reasons would ask that the Commission grant the petition.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Staff? Keith, Karen, do you have anything to add?
Darla may want to speak to it first.
Good morning, Darla.
Good morning. My name is Darla Rogers. I represent LECA in this docket. We do not oppose the granting of the intervention.
Thank you. Staff?
And staff would also recommend the granting of the intervention.
Thank you. Commissioners, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I will move that the commission grant Midco's petition for intervention.
I second.
I concur. Item number four, in the matter of approving agreements in TC05-030 and TC05-034, TC05-030, in the matter of the filing for approval of a master services agreement between Quest Corporation and Metropolitan Telecommunications of South Dakota, Inc., and 034, in the matter of the filing for approval of a wireline adoption interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation and Metropolitan Telecommunications of South Dakota, Inc. Today, shall the commission approve the agreements? Is there someone here from Quest that wishes to address us? If not, Sarah?
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. With these two agreements, you have just previously granted the certificate of authority to do business in South Dakota to Metropolitan in the previous docket, TC05069. These filings were filed shortly after their COA app was submitted, so they were timely filed. They contain no discriminatory language, and there has been no comments during the comment period, so staff would recommend approval of the agreements.
Thank you. We have Quest on the line. Are there any questions by the commissioners? If not, is there a motion? Item number four.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the commission approve both those agreements.
I have a second.
I concur. Item number five, in the matter of in the matter of approving amendments to the agreements in TC05-042, the matter of filing for approval of an amendment to an interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation and Metropolitan Telecommunications, TC05-043, filing for approval of an amendment to an interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation and Metropolitan Telecommunications, TC05-079, matter of the filing for approval of an amendment to an interconnection agreement between Quest and Ionix Communications North Incorporated, TC05-080, the matter of the filing of approval of amendment to an interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation and AT&T Communications of the Midwest Incorporated, TC05-081, in the matter of the filing of for approval of an amendment to an interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation and Mid-Continent Communications. Today, shall the commission approve the amendments to the agreements? Sarah, are you taking all these?
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman Hansen. Again, all of these amendments to the agreement, some were prematurely filed, but nonetheless, they were timely filed. They contain no discriminatory language, and there were no comments during the 20-day time period, so staff would recommend approval of the agreement, of the amendments to the agreements.
Thank you, Sarah. Are there any questions by the commissioners? If not, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve the amendments to the agreements.
Second.
I concur. First item under administration, and I remind you, we do have an addendum to the agenda, which is a natural gas issue, which will be taken after this administrative item. Administrative item number one, initiation of legal action against S&S Communications for failure to pay fine in TC02-066. Commission Counsel John Smith will take this. I'll first ask if Mr. John Burke of representing S&S Communications has joined us. John?
Thank you. In late August of 2003, the Commission issued its order in TC02-166, which was the Commission's enforcement proceeding against S&S for failure to follow Commission orders. As a part of that order, in addition to revoking it, S&S's certificate of authority, the Commission levied fines totaling $13,400 for a series of order violations and law violations that were in there. I have consulted with the Commission's Deputy Executive Director, and she has advised me that to date S&S has paid no portion of the fine. And no portion of the fine. And I am recommending on behalf of staff in consultation with the executive director and Mr. Singer, who's worked on this with me over the last couple of years, that we bite the bullet and file a lawsuit. It might be asked, why don't we wait until we have the complaints all handled and all that? The reason is that under the statute of limitations statutes of South Dakota, we're under a 2-year statute of limitations with respect to a cause of action that arises as a result of a statutory penalty. And I think to be on the safe side, we should construe this as being that. And therefore, my feeling is, to be safe, we must file this if we're ever going to do it prior to August 28th at the very latest.
So the request is that the commission request the Attorney General to initiate legal action on its behalf, on the PUC's behalf, against S&S Communications to obtain enforcement of the fine levied by the commission in TC02-166.
That's correct, and I have consulted with both Attorney General Long and Mark Barnett, they have both instructed me to just, I am an assistant attorney general, and to proceed on behalf of the commission if that's the commission's wish.
Any questions by the commission?
I do have a question for Mr. Smith. Not having been on the commission for the entire time of this docket, could you explain how we got to the $13,400 for a fine amount?
The truth is I can't right off the top of my head.
Tough question. Maybe
Ms. Wiest over here, who actually prepared the fine. It was like a series of, I think in the end it was, I can't remember the precise number, but it was a number of individual violations. Those included several late filing or no filing, complete omissions to file, late filings, filing of false information or erroneous information, violating an order where we had instructed them not to offer prepaid services in the future, and they went ahead and continued to sell prepaid services in 2 or 3 cases. And it was a number, it's under a section of the code, 493138, which permits imposition of civil fines up to $1,000 per occurrence. And it was a whole series of these that ranged in severity from as little as 200 per violation to up to 1,000. And they happen to add up to 13,400. And maybe, Rolaine, do you have any? I didn't bring my, I've got the order actually opened up with that to that page sitting on my desk, and I did not bring it up here.
Considering you prefaced your comments by explaining that you wouldn't be able to explain it, I thought you did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and I do recall that is in the documents, and also we run into a situation where there are different levels of fine that we can administer based on whether or not the conduct was intentional, and I think that's one of the reasons we ended up with, I won't call it an oddball, but I think we ended up with a number like 13,400, and also my recollection is also the level of comfort the commission had in kind of grouping fines in like categories as well as how we ended up with this number that is a little bit oddball.
That's great. Mr. Chairman, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? If not, I will move that the commission request, do we need to request you or instruct you?
No, I think it's just, and you can do it however you want if you just want to vote to initiate legal action. The reason I phrased it that way is the statutes, both in section 49- or chapter 49-1 and also in the AG statute, talk in terms of the AG.
If that's the way the statute is structured and that you're an assistant attorney general, then I will make the motion that the commission request the attorney general to initiate legal action on its behalf against S&S Communications to obtain enforcement of the fine levied by the commission in TC02-166. And as I was starting to say that, it occurred to me I should probably ask one last time, is Mr. John Burke on the line with us? Is there anyone from S&S Communications that has joined us? If not, that's my motion.
I second.
And, Mr. Chairman, I gladly concur, and I think this clearly was one of the most egregious consumer scams we had in recent history, and beyond that, we had S&S going out and intentionally violating a commission order. So I think it's completely appropriate that we levy the fines in the first place and to go after them to the fullest extent of the law.
We have an addendum to our agenda today. That addendum is a natural gas item, NG05-002, in the matter of an application of Montana Dakota Utilities for authority to increase rates for natural gas service. The question before the commission is, today, shall the commission suspend the imposition of the tariff for an additional 60 days beyond July 22, 2005? Mr. Gertis.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I am here to represent MDU simply to be available for questions if you wish. We do not take a position on the motion.
Are there any questions? Does staff have anything to present? Dave?
No, this is a standard 60-day, final 60-day suspension that we are allowed by statute. We would request that you approve that.
Thank you. Commission action?
Mr. Chair, I move that the commission suspend the imposition of the tariff for an additional 60 days beyond July 22, 2005.
And I second.
And I concur. The last item on the agenda is our announcements, and we have several. The first is the next regularly scheduled commission meeting will be held July 28th at 9:30. I believe we also have commission meetings scheduled for August 9, September 13, and 27. And we have a new face, a new older face at the table with us today, Mr. Knadel. Bob Knadel is joining us. He is being recirculated. I don't know, how many years were you down in TW? 6 years, and coming back to make sure that everything is being run properly again. We appreciate you coming back. And, of course, that left the opening for Mr. Melhoff that we were talking about. So congratulations to both of you. And Mr. Melhoff was promoted. And Deb Gregg, is she? There's Deb. Deb, congratulations on your promotion. We did a little bit of musical chairs, but I'm sure each one of you is very well deserving of the promotion, and congratulations. Is there anything else to come before the commission at this time? If not, the meeting is adjourned.